Welcome to the Dominion Embassy broadcast. You're about to hear a kingdom living message from Reverend Kofi Asa of Dominion Embassy, a ministry committed to unveiling our Lord Jesus Christ and his kingdom system. Reverend Kofi Asa is also a pastor at the Prevailing Word Chapel. Please sit back and enjoy this anointed and insightful message.
Now, let us look at the curse on the earth, because God tells us about the curse on the earth. Deuteronomy chapter 33 verse 27 says something. What does it say? It says that the eternal God is your refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms. Please underline everlasting arms. You will thrust out the enemy from before you and will say, destroy. Hallelujah. That is what God did for mankind. When man sinned, man fell into the everlasting arms of God. He didn't fall into the hands of the devil. He fell into the hands of God. Why did he fall into the hands of God? Because God had to correct mankind. So I want you to know that God has a love we call the corrective love of God, by which he corrects. He corrects wrongs in our lives. He corrects wrong things that we have done in society. He has got a love that goes out of the way to correct it. Hallelujah. So we fall into the hands of who? God. If a believer sins, he doesn't fall into the hands of the devil, ladies and gentlemen. You are not in the hands of the devil because of your disobedience. You are still in the hands of God. That is why he calls it the everlasting arm. Everlasting arm means that the arm was there yesterday, today, and forever. That is why it is everlasting. Everlasting does not mean the future. It means the past, because it is everlasting. It is always there. It covers time. It covers the past. Everlasting means that it is also applicable in the present and also for the future. We have the everlasting arms of God, you know, in which he has tattooed our names, and we fall right at the right place. Hallelujah. For correction, because I will not leave my child to the hands of lions. When my child disobeys me, the lion should do what? Chew up my son. No way. It will not happen. Who put that kind of love in me? It is God, because that is how he is. That is what he is, God. All right? So we see the corrective love of God put in place for mankind. Just in case you fall, there is a glyco kind of arm that cushions you. Hallelujah. So that you are not crushed. He cushions you. And then after he cushions you, he tells you, I'm going to destroy your enemy from before you, like he did in the first. And then will say to you, destroy. Destroy that which crushed you, or that which made you to fall. Hallelujah. Now, I want us to understand that after God cursed Satan, he turned his attention to Adam, and he cursed the earth. He didn't curse Adam. The curse went like this. Genesis 3, 17b to 19. Genesis 3, 17b to 19. Let's read the curse on the earth, not the curse on Adam. He says, curse is the ground for your sake. Please underline, curse is the ground. He didn't say, curse are you, Adam. He says, a curse is the ground for your sake. For your sake means that the ground is even going to help you. I love you so much that the earth that you were supposed to rule, that you have relinquished to the devil, I have cursed it for your sake, just to help you. Just to help you. Because I want to help you. I want to help you, mankind, and you who is listening. Curse is the ground for your sake. In toil you shall eat of it all the days of your life. Both thorns and thistles it shall bring forth for you, and you shall eat the herb of the field. In the sweat of your face you shall eat bread, till you return to the ground, for out of it you were taken, for dust you are, and to dust you shall return. Ladies and gentlemen, the devil takes this passage of scripture we have just read, and in times past, he has given to people the impression that God was trying to get even at mankind. You know, God is very vindictive. For disobeying him, he wants to get even at mankind. What a God. Is that the impression God wanted to give about himself? that God is irritable, God is vindictive. Vindictive means that if you touch him, he will touch you. That as for God, you can't do something to him and then he will forget. He will do it to you, tit for tat. That is the impression the devil has given using the scripture. Hallelujah. But it is not so. Wonderful. God is not a tit for tat God. He is not an unstable God. He is very stable in his love. His love is so perfect that it makes him stable. Hallelujah. Wonderful. But I want us to understand that God didn't curse Adam. Why didn't he curse Adam? I believe it is because Adam was the one in whose loins were all of humanity. I mean, all of God's investment, it was in Adam. Investments for the earth, it was in Adam. You and I, we were in his loins, means that we were potentially in Adam when Adam sinned. You know? So God will not curse Adam, because if he curses Adam, he is going to curse all his investments. Will you do that? No, you will not do that. You have an investment in one place. You have put something, maybe investment, financial investment in one thing. Will you destroy that thing? No, you will not destroy it. You will not cut the branch on which you are standing. You will not kill the hen that lays the golden egg, or that is going to lay the golden egg. Hallelujah. So God did not curse humanity. He did not curse Adam. You see, that should tell you God's great love for the innocent. Innocent into inverted commas. Talking about us who were in the loins of Adam. God is such a wonderful God that he is not going to destroy the righteous into inverted commas with the wicked. Genesis chapter 18, Abraham was talking to God about a decision God wanted to take about Sodom and Gomorrah. And Abraham dared to tell God, will not the judge of all the earth do right? Will you destroy the righteous with the wicked? And God said, if I find 50 righteous in that city, I will not destroy the city for their sake, for the sake of the 50. It went on and on and on and on to 10 or so. Hallelujah. It's powerful. So God is not a God who will jumble all of us together and punish all of us. He will not do that. Hallelujah. That is why he rather cares the earth over which the devil was to rule for mankind's sake. Because the devil was to rule this earth. And God made it difficult for the devil to rule on this earth for man's sake. So let me explain that God made things difficult for the devil. Because he had taken over the authority on this earth. That is why he cursed the place where the devil has been made the god of this world. He cursed it. He cursed it. Hallelujah. So that the devil's operations on this earth will not favor him. The Bible said it. The reason he did that was for man's sake. Man became the ultimate, or will become the ultimate beneficiary of the curse on the earth. Hallelujah. It's wonderful. Because once there was a curse of what we can call low productivity and difficulty on this earth, the devil will not have a great time ruling the earth and uses the great produce of the earth to lure mankind to stick to him. So he had to put a curse on it and make things difficult for the devil. Hallelujah. You need to understand that when there is difficulty in a leader's rule, people don't like the leader. Yeah, you can try to deceive the people that the difficulty is because of colonialism, you know, because your ancestors were made slaves. You can try and put something on somebody, but the bottom line is that the person's rule is not going well. Hallelujah. And that is exactly what God did. He made it say that the devil's rule is not going to be a joyous one. That will make mankind feel like, hey, the devil is good, the devil is wonderful, and things like that. So that what? So that mankind will find his way back to God. That was God's grand plan. So that man will look for an alternative to his ruler, who was the devil. So this is how the curse on the earth was to work for man's sake. It was to let the devil become unpopular and human beings look for a new ruler, and not stick with the devil forever. A new ruler, so that when a new ruler comes, they can shift, because this other ruler's rule is not a good thing. So the curse on the earth was to promote man's return to where he was going to be blessed. Although the curse on the earth meant that the earth was going to not cooperate with mankind, like he said, thorns and thistles, that's difficulty will you have on this earth. But let's look at Proverbs chapter 20 and then verse 30 to understand why sometimes in God correcting a situation, in his corrective, infinite, unconditional love, he would make things difficult. Okay, look at Proverbs 20 and then verse 30. Blows that hurt cleanse away evil, as do stripes the inner depths of the heart. Blows that hurt, it cleanses away evil. That is why Hebrews chapter 12 also tells us that we should not despise the chastening of the Lord, because no chastening is pleasant. Let's read that. Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12, and then we will look at verse number 7. If you endure chastening, God deals with you as with sons. Chastening is child training. That is it in the Greek. When you endure child training, God deals with you as with sons. For what son is there whom a father does not chasten? All right. But if you are without chastening, of which all have become partakers, then you are illegitimate and not sons. Furthermore, we have had human fathers who corrected us, and we pay them respect. Shall we not much more readily be in subjection to the Father of spirits and live? For they, that is human fathers, they indeed for a few days chasten us as seemed best to them. But God for our profit, that we may be partakers of his holiness. Verse 11, as we end. Now, no chastening seemed to be joyous for the present. In other words, when God is disciplining you as his son, he is training you as his son, the Bible says that it is not joyous. That means that it is very grievous. It's painful. It is not a happy, happy moment for the present, but painful. Nevertheless, afterwards, it yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it. You see? So, in God's corrective love, he said that thorns and thistles is going to bring. You are going to sweat before you eat, you know, of the produce of the ground. It was what? God's way of disciplining mankind, so that what? So that mankind will get back to righteousness. Mankind will get back to the right path, the kingdom path, and put aside the path on which the devil has charted, the path of religion, which he charted through the fruit of the knowledge of good and evil. Wonderful. Come back to righteousness, he says, by his chastening. So that is the whole idea behind God putting the curse on the earth. It was to promote mankind. It was to help mankind. Hallelujah. Because God is not a curse freak. You know who a curse freak is? Somebody who just curses. He just curses left, right, center. It's like he delights in cursing. God is not like that. It's wonderful. It's wonderful. Now, I want us to understand something, that when our Lord Jesus Christ came upon the scene, he used this same scenario of the curse on the earth to explain to mankind the love of God. And that is where I want us to go to in the book of Luke chapter 12. Because there was a kind of a curse on the earth on which we are. But Jesus Christ in Luke chapter 12, in Matthew chapter 6, he gives us a certain understanding of the love of God in the midst of the curse on the earth, so that we would see the love of God in spite of the existing curse on the earth. Because the curse on the earth cannot be reversed by anybody, cannot be reversed by the devil. It can only be reversed by God. And God did that through the Lord Jesus Christ when he went on the cross. On the cross, Jesus Christ eased the curse. Hallelujah. On the earth, he eased it. And there is a reason why he eased it. It is because he had come to bring mankind back to the kingdom path. He had come from the kingdom to show them the path to the kingdom, which is what? He himself. And so he had to ameliorate the curse. He had to lessen the curse. After all, the reason for the curse is for man's sake, for man to get back to God. And Jesus had come on the cross to, as a way of mankind getting back to God.
We'll be back briefly to continue with the word. Dominion Embassy is a non-denominational teaching ministry, and our mission is to enable people to rule in life through acknowledging the treasure of the Lord in them. Our purpose is to teach about the treasure of the Lord, namely Jesus and his kingdom system. Our vision is to fully acknowledge the person, principles and performance of Jesus for mankind to teach the kingdom system of God. And our strategy is to bring the kingdom message and ways of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ to practical living, teaching and preaching, literature, seminar and audio visuals, all in the subliminal style of Jesus Christ. Welcome to the Dominion Embassy broadcast.
So look at the depth of the love of God, because it had served the curse on the earth, has served its purpose to an extent, and through the cross, mankind can gain back rulership on the earth, and Jesus, being the seed of the woman, crushed the head of the serpent on the cross. Then that prophecy, prediction, consolation had been fulfilled. So why not lessen the curse in God's love for mankind? That is why on the cross, Jesus Christ took the thorns and he wore it as a cane to say to us that what came as a result of your disobedience, I have carried that thing on my cross. Hallelujah. They made a crown of thorns. God said that thorns and thistles the earth is going to bring to you, to mankind, and they made a crown of thorns and they shoved it, they pressed it on Jesus's brow, you know. But they didn't know that by so doing, Jesus was suffering all the thorns that should choke mankind. And this one is not even choking the feet of mankind, the very brow of mankind. He took it to the highest extent that this curse of thorns and thistles or difficulty on earth will pose to mankind. He took it not just for the legs of mankind, but on his brow, to make us to understand the depths of how he can go, how far he can go to ease the curse that God had mentioned upon the earth for man's sake once again. Because the seed of the woman, Jesus Christ, had come. He had come to crush the head of the serpent on the cross. So I can ease situations for you. Ease means that it is not totally taken away, but it has been eased for you. Difficulties on this earth has been eased for you. So that whereas before Jesus' death, in toil we are going to labor in order to eat of the herbs of the field, but now because of Jesus' death on the cross, he is going to take the work out of our work. That is why he bled through his hands. The hand is a symbol of work. You know, he shed blood through his hands to tell us that his blood has covered the work of our hands in such a way that it has been eased. We still have to work, but God takes the work out of our work so that we work in pleasure. We don't work in toil. Toil or labor came as a result of the fall. Hallelujah. It is work that God gave to mankind to do before the fall. But labor is what mankind was ushered into as a result of the disobedience or the fall in Eden. Hallelujah. So I want us to understand God's love in what Jesus taught about this curse in the book of Luke chapter 12 and Matthew chapter 6. Because he crowned it all on the cross after he had taught this. So let's turn to the book of Luke chapter 12. And we are going to look at how Jesus addressed this curse on man's work. Or I should say curse on the earth regarding man's work on this earth. Luke chapter 12 and then verse number 22. Then he said to his disciples, "Therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat, nor about the body, what you will put on." Do you see what Jesus is addressing? He is now saying something very wonderful. As a seed of the woman, he's going to crush the head of the serpent. And so he says to us that, "I am saying to you, don't worry about what you eat." Because if God curses the earth for man's sake, that you're going to toil and work and labor to eat the herbs of the field and all that, I mean, you should be worried that when you are going to work, you should be worried that all that we are doing is for nothing. Have you heard doctrine like that? People who teach as if, I mean, if you go and work outside the church, then you are working for the devil. And it is only when you work in the church that you are working for God. Please, that is not it. Hallelujah. The Bible says that whatever thing that you are doing, he was talking to people who were employees. He says that whatever thing that you are doing, do it as unto the Lord and not unto man, knowing that of the Lord you receive the reward, because you are not serving man, but you are serving God. If we are doing it in church, I mean, it's clear that it's the church of God. What about if you are doing it at home, the domestic setting? What about if you are doing it at your workplace? Does it mean that you are doing the work of the devil? No, it doesn't mean that. Actually, people who think that the earth has been cursed and the seed of the woman has crushed the head of the serpent, but still the curse is still the same intensity and all that, they are the people who teach that. But God has taken it over. Hallelujah. By the death of Jesus, God in love for mankind has taken it over. Wonderful. So he says to us, do not worry about your life, what you eat. Although you know that there has been a curse, Jesus has not gone to the cross, but he's assuring them about God's love, that there is something coming. I'm going to the cross. I'm going to do something about the curse on the earth for your sake. All right. So he said, don't worry about what you eat, about your body, what you put on. Life is more than food. It's wonderful. Because you see, you can get to a place where you think that food is what is important in this life. You know, people talk like that. Hey, if I don't go, how will I eat? They don't say, if I don't go, what how will I get something to bless people with? They say, how will I eat? So eating has become very important. There was a time I was somewhere in traffic, and somebody was very early in the morning. Somebody was doing this. He has not eaten. I said, hey, I have not eaten also. But you see, the thing is that your mind can be so much on food. When you wake up in the morning, food, because we call it breakfast. But Jesus is teaching us something. Life is more than food. So when you wake up in the morning, think about God small. Think about your quiet time. Life is more than food, having food and all that. Do you know why he said that? Maybe I should give you a setting to this teaching of Jesus, because this verse 22 that we read, it says, therefore. Therefore means that he is saying it on something that he has said before. So let's go to what he has said before and look at why he said, therefore, I say to you, don't worry about food. Look at the same Luke chapter 12 and then verse 16. Okay, let's back up to verse 15. And Jesus said to them, take heed and beware of covetousness, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of the things that he possesses. He made that statement that your life is not made up of the abundance of things that you have. Then he spake a parable to them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man yielded plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do, since I have no room to store my crops? So he said, I will do this. I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there I will store all my crops and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, you have many goods laid up for you for many years. He didn't say, people in my society, I have stored something for you. Do you see how selfish this guy is? He's talking about what he will eat because he thinks that it's important. I mean, what you eat. Jesus Christ is trying to take our minds from what we will eat. He's trying to take our minds from short-term living. He's trying to take our minds from stomach direction living by saying that don't think about food. Then what should I think about? We should think about things that extend into what? Eternity. Because food is very temporary, is very short term. Clothing is very temporary, is very short term. These days, you even wash them. They say that it doesn't fade. You wash them and everything has faded away. You can't take your clothing to eternity. You understand that? Wonderful. Talking about the kingdom future. But Jesus is taking our minds from short-term living to eternity living, to kingdom of God living right now from this earth. We live the kingdom life, and then when the kingdom future manifests, we are just, it's just the same track. It's the same track, you know. So we should taste the kingdom before we experience it in its fullness. Nobody on this earth will eat something he has not tasted. Are you aware? You see, sometimes, even when you are hungry, you think you don't taste the food, but you do taste it. Yes. There is nobody who really eats without tasting. So if you are going to eat the kingdom future, let it fill you to the full. God says, I'm giving you an opportunity to steal. Taste it, smell it, taste it. Hallelujah. By living it now. So, life is more than food, and the body more than clothing. God didn't give us this body, ladies and gentlemen, just so that we clothe it. He gave us this body to give us a signal that he cares for all of our physical life. He cares about the physical life. He didn't give you a body and say that even all the physical things are all hopeless. Bible says your heavenly father knows that you need it. You may think it is hopeless, it is a jinjanzi, it is a striving for materialism. The Bible says that your heavenly father in his perfection and holiness knows that you need it. It's not the devil, it's God. But Jesus is teaching us that life is, your body is more than clothing. It's giving you a certain signal, a certain message. Not just that clothe me. That's basic to the body. But there is something which is higher, which is a higher purpose for your body. To bring God's kingdom here in this physical. Hallelujah. Because the kingdom of God is not clothing and all those things, ladies and gentlemen. It is bringing about issues of the kingdom. Kingdom brand of things on this earth. Hallelujah. It's powerful. So, look at how Jesus addresses this case. He says that, consider the ravens. Please underline the ravens. The ravens, according to Leviticus chapter 11, they are an abomination to God. In other words, of the birds of the air, ravens are unclean. They have been degraded to being an abomination to God. You know ravens, crows that we see around. Even many people don't like crows. I don't know who eats crow up to now. Because they are scavengers. They are always on the border trying to eat the poisons and the dead things. Can you see how cursed the crow is? As for you, you eat dead things, decayed things. That's what attracts you. Corpses. Look at how cursed. And God on top says that don't eat ravens because ravens, they are an abomination to me. They are unclean. I've degraded them. They belong to the birds of the air, but I've degraded them. But Jesus Christ says that consider the ravens. Jesus is trying to stir a little trouble here. Do you know why? Because the Jewish people he was speaking to, they didn't like ravens. They didn't like crows. They knew they were an abomination to God. God himself says, don't eat it. But Jesus now comes and he says that, look at the crows. Consider them. The Greek word translated consider is the word observe fully. Observe fully. In other words, take a critical look at the cursed things. Take a critical look at the cursed birds. Take a look at it. Says that for they neither sow nor reap. Please understand that ravens, they are not meant to sow nor reap. They are not meant for that. They can't sow and reap. Because where there are nice flowers, have you seen crows among your flower? No, they don't like that place. Where you put the bola, the rubbish, That's where they are. Please, no pollination. Some of you are scientists. There is a better scientist who is our Lord Jesus Christ. They say, oh, but they so they pollinate. When they are the nectar, they go and they don't drink nectar. They hate sweet things.
I hope you've been blessed by the word. In case you've not accepted Jesus as your Lord and personal Savior, kindly say this after me. Dear God, I repent towards you and sin. Come into my heart. I make you Jesus my Lord and Savior. Thank you for forgiving all my sins already, saving me from hell and accepting me into your kingdom as your royal child. In Jesus' name, amen. For this and other kingdom messages and books from Dominion Embassy, call 020-8078-535. Visit our website at www.dominionembassygh.org or our offices at No. 1 Karat Avenue, Eric Warden Street, near Zoom Lion offices, off Queen of Peace Academy, West Anaji Estate, Takoradi, Ghana. God richly bless you. Lord, I lift your name.